Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You have reached America Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young. And then you're going to be joined by one of our guests shortly, Selena Lindsay. We have another hot topic tonight. We're going to be talking about the antiretrovirus. Do they work on HIV? How far have we come so far since 1981? There's controversy. Some they have proof of, and still we're not all the way 100% sure. We have Selena Lindsay on the line, and I believe we have Dr. Faduma Adol on the line. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good evening.
All right.
Good evening
ladies. Today was a busy day for me. Oh, gosh. One day I was able to get everything up on the board and published so that we can speak right at this moment. So, Dr. Faduma Adol, go ahead for about a minute, introduce yourself to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name is Dr. Faduma Adol, and I'm a foreign medical graduate and a community supporter, and I'm here to learn some more and give some of my opinion, personal opinion.
All right. Selena?
Yes, I am Selena Lindsay, and I'm a retired CPA. I run several nonprofits and probably sit on the board of about 10 or 15. At the end of the show, we'll give you some information about some of those that are around the United States and right here in our own community.
Thank you. As I said, we have another hot topic tonight. And ladies, if you don't know, we've reached more parts in Africa, Namibia, Nigeria, and there's one more.
Okay.
So people are listening to the program. Last week's broadcast, we've reached over 39,000 people, and the numbers are growing by 5,000 every day. So that's a good thing.
Good. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll reach more, on all of our broadcasts. Anyway, I love it when, you know, I know the other countries are listening in also, because what we say, it seems simple, but it's going throughout the world, and people are listening, which is a good thing. Tonight we said we're going to talk about the antiretrovirus. Does it work? They use the initial ART, stands for antiretroviral treatment, and they said that it can decrease the risk of HIV from being transmitted. It reduces the viral load in blood, semen, vaginal secretion, and rectal secretion. They're telling us because the viral load is when the viral load is low, they're saying that the virus cannot be transmitted. Therefore, what they call it is viral suppression, and that's from the ART, as I mentioned. It prevents HIV transmission. Using a test and treatment solution appears to be working. Are we coming closer to a cure for HIV? And that's pretty much what we're going to talk about tonight. There's a lot of literature on this information. I found some in the last week and today also. And it's like, wow, are we coming close? You know, are they sure? Have they tested long enough? Those are some of the things people are wanting to know. One of the reports I read was from August 15, 2017, and they talk about, they call it a micro, if I pronounce it right, microbicide. They're like a gel or a cream. And what they do is, they like in a woman, they place it in her vaginal area or her vagina, and it's supposed to prevent the HIV infection. So one study showed 39% fewer infections when they used this cream or whatever it is, and that's part of that antiretroviral treatment. But also the literature is saying you have to follow what the prescription says to. So if the person does something different, then the likelihood of this working is not there. The thing that disturbed me most is we're treating a disease the way, and a major disease where it's not, no, there isn't a cure for, as if it was, I don't know, as if it was something minor. I can't see, but they've had, there are studies showing they've had lots of people that are HIV positive with viral loads low and are saying it didn't transfer over. The puzzle to all of that for me, on a personal basis, knowing people, is the virus itself can lay dormant. When they say dormant, it's not detectable. It's hiding, and then it comes out.
Yeah.
So, and it can lay dormant for 10 years. That's a long time. So all this stuff is not, you know, I know some studies, they've been doing this, what, since, what, 2006, I believe it is, on, and using drug combination and trying to combat this disease that is that pandemic. Because I don't know why they would say that it's not a pandemic and call it epidemic. I don't call it epidemic when African men here in the United States, there's only 31%. And of that 31%, every year 73% is reported as positive. That's high. That is not a low number. And then women, how many African American women are here in the United States? 13%. Of that 13%, 64% is infected. If they don't do something, if we don't keep educating people, the black race will become extinct, just like an animal. This is critical. And right now, for social injustice, HIV is number one. It's not killings. It's not discrimination. It's none of those things. It's HIV. It's at the top. All right, I want to take over the show. I am upset with what's happening. So that's just one race, and then the other people that are minorities, the same thing. What puzzled me the most, when you say minority, the minorities don't know they're a minority. I experienced that today when I was at the Martin Luther King event that was celebrated at the West Covina Civic Center. The minorities, they're not understanding, it's not a lot of, this isn't Haiti, this isn't Africa, this is the United States. Those numbers are lying. Yeah, and ain't that many black people here in America. That's why they say you are a minority. I am a minority. There's not that many of us here. So this is pretty serious. Okay, who do I want to hear? Who wants to go ahead and talk?
Well, I think to reiterate a little bit of what you're talking about, number one, I always like to look at something because, you know, this retrovirus is a good thing on one hand, but then again, we have something that's a little sneaky. Now, the good thing is before 1987, there was no antiviral drugs.
That's true.
So to say that this thing suppresses it, well, I call it the ghost because there's no wonder our blood supply is jacked up. because the technicality is, you know, a lot of these people can be, at this particular time, taking the drug, have a low viral load where it is virtually undetectable, and go and get blood. Because one of your pet peeves is that because they're not doing both tests.
Right. Except for blood, Red Cross do both tests because they have to.
Exactly. And now we're kind of going to pass the buck a little bit to Dr. Aduma, because I think there's some other things that they need to understand about the retrovirus, that basically it comes in six classes. And perhaps, you know, she can give us a little bit of an understanding as to what these things are, because, like, they have a protease inhibitor. And so some of these various different drugs are the integase or fusion, or even, of course, the chemo one. We all know what that means, okay? But perhaps she can shed some light as to what those things are.
Yeah, as you said, it's true, like they come like a different strain, you know, and some of them earlier when they were treating only one medication, they were becoming resistant to that one because the virus itself, it makes enzyme to protect itself, to destroy the medication. That's why they become resistant. That's why it is important to do like a combination of at least three of them and two different classes. So in case like they are resistant to this and they are, you know, like destroyed the other one. And then the thing is not like we destroying totally, but we taking down like the viral, retroviral can replicate and attack so many cells of us, you know, like us. So we are stopping it. So this medication, they're going to take down to the replication. But unfortunately, some cases, they become in any way resistant, even three of them. That's why we're, the first question that we were saying, is there 100% like they work? In general, in medicine, nothing works in 100% because medicine is not a logic. Like when we talk about logic, like let's say 2 + 2 is going to make a 4. It doesn't make 5, neither 3. But in medicine, when you put 2 + 2, it can be 3, it can be 5, it can be. That's why all the time they give you a consent form and they say, you know, we are not 100%. Because a different individual and different circumstances and different, and it depends how long you were having the disease and what other, you know, like and comorbidity do you have and what environment you are. It depends so many factors. For that reason, and I don't believe there is a single medication that works 100%. So, but is better to take like this combination of three medication at least suppresses, you know, like sometimes even like undetectable, you know, like suppresses load. So the virus can't replicate or less likely become resistant. But if they become resistant, no matter what medication you give, all of them, if they become resistant, and then you have full-blowing disease, AIDS, you know, like and you've been attacked by parasites, by bacteria, by so many things, just easily people can die, very treatable, like and diseases, infection. For example, you give antibiotic, but the antibiotic is only supportive, but we need our T lymphocytes, just like time and Selena was saying, the CD4 is very important. And this particular virus, what it takes down in the first place is your CD4 and your T lymphocytes, your defenses, you are defenseless. So that's why it's better when they say like and lifespan is not only 1 or 1.5 days, but the progeny that they make, that's what replicates more. That's where the medication is going. Yeah, and sometimes it works because it depends so many factors, you know.
Yeah,
so
they said some of the factors is whether the person follows what the prescription tells them to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You have,
not
people
only
that
because
don't,
some people, you know, like how
more,
many.
Because there is no cure and you don't follow through, then you're putting yourself, their life, and another person's life at stake.
And sometimes they change their cover, their capsulae. So the medication is designed for a particular capsulae that we already know for particular retroviral. And this virus, when they sense the medication, right away they change like where the medication would go, the capsulae that like cover it, you know, like that would attach. It's changed and then the medication doesn't go. This is enzyme that they make to defend themselves, to become a resistant.
And the other thing is they have to be constantly tested to see that the viral load is low. So you can't just take the medicine, not go back in for regular testing on a regular basis. They to take the treatment and they need to be tested on a regular basis with that viral load because it still can go up, and to make sure it stays down, a test has to be ran. So it's still, we're still not there.
Yeah, we're still not there. We still need a lot of study, you know. So it's really, really bad.
But
well,
you
I
would have, say that we're still not all there. We're facing a double barrel shotgun because, you know, thank God we have something. But also, too, when you look at the contraindications for taking this stuff, you know, acidosis, exorations, or get help B biters, or, you know, hypersensitivity, and, you know, some of the other side effects, bleeding, bone loss, heart disease, elevated blood sugar, kidney, liver, pancreas damage.
Yes.
But in the end of all that, we say, retrovirus, and without it, what do we have? We have full-blown AIDS.
Yeah, antiretrovirus.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you're talking about your immune system and keeping less of germ inside the body.
Yeah.
We have no way of knowing. But you know what amazed me? Not only have Center of Disease Control join in, but your World Health Organization has joined in also in seeing that this is very promising, and that's based on the numbers that they've seen where when they've had the suppression of or the low viral load, that the people weren't coming down. If their partner was not positive, they weren't coming down with the disease.
You're right.
But then,
on the other hand,
it's still a wait and see thing. It's a wait and see. Because everything's new. Hasn't been out long enough to make a. That's why you can't say you have a cure.
Just like a. It's not like a tuberculosis, but that's a bacteria. It's much easier than virus. Killing bacteria is much easier than virus because bacteria, they have like a. The important acid nuclei, which is like a DNA and RNA, they carry both. They are just like human cells, you know, like and then you attack them selectively. But this retrovirus is making his DNA from his RNA and making his DNA from our DNA, so we are attached together. So if you are going to kill the virus, you have to kill your own cell too. Then for that reason that they invented this triple medication that like selectively like stops replication, you know, like this enzyme and transcriptase, the virus develops, you know, like that's where they attack. Their mechanism of action is attacking those enzymes. But they can make a different enzyme, like to be resistant, you know, to defend themselves. That's the worrisome always bacteria is much easier to kill than virus. But
virus. Okay, in your other countries like Europe, they said they believe that the HIV virus was man-made in a lab by the United States. And if any of that is true, then that explains why it's a hard time to try and do something with it.
Yeah.
But what you made can be undone.
Yeah.
But, harm, with great difficulty.
To harm other people, you know, like last night I went like a Martin Luther King celebration. Sorry, I forgot the name of the lady. She was born 1917, and she died like 1977. And people, they were doing hysterectomy without their consent. Whenever they go, small procedure for like appendectomy in a hospital, and the doctors, they make ligation of their tube for taking out their uterus without their consent. And they found out 1966 that that's so unfair. If that was happening, it's still something else that we don't know is happening, you know. So I doubt, you know, like, and I feel bad about that.
Human tragedy.
Genocizing, you know. So,
We have genocide with HIV. We essentially have genocide with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's listed, not number 2, 3, 4, 5. HIV is listed number one category for human injustice.
Yeah.
Not killing, not discrimination, none of those things. It's HIV. And that's why in the past I've called it's a silent killer.
Why they created and implanted to a particular group, you know, like
that? Well, they said it was aimed at African Americans.
Since
we only have 13% African American women here in the United States, and we're already at 64% coming down with the HIV, that's pretty high. That's what, over
7%?
You're the numbers person.
Yeah.
I know that's over 7%. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Selena?
Yeah. Well, as you guys have said over and over again, you know, they're not really in a hurry to do anything. I mean, because you said it over and over again, you know, the drugs don't kill or cure the virus. Basically, what it does is, I don't even like the word that they use called prevent transmission of the HIV. Because it's not technically doing that either.
I believe people who did that, they did for job security. After they give the disease and then the nature and the process of the disease and what medication, and that's job security. Could be, you know, like people these days is business. It always been like that. And then the victims are mostly the minority like us, the black people, which is so unfair.
Yeah, it is. And so the programs like this we got to continue to talk about it, let the public know, you know, what's going on, because the average person don't know. When I talked about HIV AIDS at the event today, the average person thought it's gone away. I said, no, it's not. The education's gone away. The letting the youth know, that has gone away. But the disease itself is running rampant.
There was a time, like one of the professors in giving a review course in Kaplan in a medical review, and he was saying in 1940s, you know, like when people get like a syphilis, the African Americans, they were coming to the hospital, which is very simple, easy, you know, like you can treat with a penicillin, you know, like they were not giving the penicillin because they were watching, they were giving placebo, they were giving something else. They wanted to know how this disease progresses. Like syphilis has three stages, stage 1, stage 2, and stage 3. And then stage three is the worst one. You can't even become like a mentally ill because attack is to the brain cell, you know, like a, and then they just wanted to see like a, how this disease progresses at the end, how it becomes. And that's so unfair and that's so bad, you know. So, and it's documented. They did it that. They really did it that. So I don't wonder if now they see like a, like, you know, like doing this HIV, you know, like, you know, so it's so unfortunate, but we
you know,
we
what
something.
Bugs me about it's a sexually transmitted disease. With it being a, that's, well, one transmission, we know the others, but they've come up with this prophylaxis, if I'm saying it right, to prevent it from happening by giving you a cream. There is no other sexually transmitted disease on the face of the earth that they give you some prophylactic to stop you from getting it. Like, for example, syphilis. There ain't no cream or drug or anything to give you to stop you from getting syphilis. But here, and syphilis is treatable. Here, it's HIV.
Yeah, it's because
it doesn't, something doesn't sound right. It just does not make sense.
Because it is a kind of bacteria. It has a RNA and DNA. You can kill with just simply penicillin. But this virus, it has only RNA or DNA. And the second one, and take it from our own body. But some of them, they are with like a flu virus, you know, like we can defend ourselves with our own immunity. But this AIDS virus, HIV virus, it attacks the first of all, like the immune system, how you can defend, you know, like when they get down your immune system, you know, like
Wow. I said this is for the first time in history they've come up with, you know, creams. You didn't come up with that for syphilis. And you said syphilis is a bacteria versus this one's a virus. That's the difference. I just, no one, including the researchers, don't know if all this stuff is going to work. It appears to be working, but is this long-term or short-term? And it takes time. We already know it can lay dormant. So it's going
to
take time.
I like to say they're doing the I Love Lucy. There's a particular show that she does where, you know, she's tipping around and they say step by step. you know, slowly I turn. Yeah, and they're doing this little step by step thing in on both sides of the fence. For instance, one of the things that you mentioned in terms of can you get this by certain activity. Slowly, I can remember shortly after the 80s, you know, they turn on a black light and show you that there it is in the urine on the toilet seat, you know, that it's in fluids and other kinds of things. And so here you are on stage talking to young kids, telling them, well, you better stop trying to be a giraffe and run your tongue down somebody's throat, you know, because this stuff is serious.
Right.
And we have to face why these numbers are escalating this way. It's because slowly, step by step, they're letting out more information on both sides of the fence, more information in terms of what a retrovirus is and what they're able to treat, and at the same time, you know, how it's going to kill you, you know, because if it's going to turn you into a diabetic by elevating your blood sugar, or, you know, you're not going to be able to have any milk because it's going to give you lactic acidosis. Your kidneys are going to go. Your liver's going to go. Your pancreas is going to go. It's a whole bunch of things here. But guess what? You're still here. We can slow this down. So, you know, it's step
it's
by
a
step.
Slow down.
The side effect is not for everybody, you know, like it's only for some individual, but everything that they see, even in one person in a million, they have to record it and they put like they have to yeah, documented that. Yeah. So it doesn't mean like it happens to me, it happens to you. You know, like people are different. And as I told you, there are so many factors that contribute or, you know, like or against or help. Depends when they get the disease and how long and how other comorbidity they have. Yeah, also that one, yeah.
And it just, there needs to still be more education. I remember today I talked to a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old with their mother and father. I told them I don't see anything that's inappropriate. I did scare the little boy, but I didn't mind scaring him. He said, I'm not gonna kiss a girl.
No, he has to be watchful, you know, like to be careful, you know, like the barrier
and
is
they do. I said,
the prevention.
You have both,
the prevention
both
is
you
a
and
more,
the girl
more
need
important
to be tested, that's
cure.
All.
Yeah.
And to take both tests, the RNA test. On the Center of Disease website, they said the RNA test, you'll know 10 to 15 days that it's quicker than antibody tests that can take up to a year. Why take up to a year if you can have the answers within 10 to 15 days? That makes no sense. It's just, you know, that procedure someday will be changed and it'll be legislated into law. Now, I learned in the L.A. area, now I don't know if it's constitutional correct, but because that virus is running so rampant, some of the hospitals there don't ask people permission for running that HIV test. They run it anyway, because the lady shared with me. She said, I didn't even know they were doing the HIV test. I said, they didn't ask your permission? No, I was just going for routine. So some of the places in L.A. is already doing routine without permission. But I say, go for it. Why not? I think people want to know. I think there's more people that want to know than people not wanting to know. But she was fine. She wasn't HIV positive, but she didn't ask for HIV test. But they, as one of the tests, they that one was on the list. I told her that was a good thing. Because Center Disease Control already said 1 out of 5 is HIV positive, and they don't know it. And that means if that's true, 1 out of 5, then over 60 million people in America are HIV positive and don't know it.
Yeah.
And that's a tragic. Those are all human tragedies.
Yeah.
So that's why we, you know, have shows like this, so we can talk the truth and get the information out. Because people do want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Selena has some things she wants to share with us on some of the other entities that she's very involved with. And so this part of the program she's going to go ahead and share.
Okay.
Selena?
Okay. Yes, I guess we will. One of the first organizations I'd like to talk about is called One Love. And One Love, what they're currently doing is they're doing a film which is designed to heal the soul and educate mind. And primarily what it's about is about helping kids that have been sexually abused. And the person that runs this organization, her name is Tuesday Connors. And Tuesday Connors can be reached at area code 818-714-4242. They have a great art and culture and entertainment center. And, you know, to get the kids off the street, and especially kids that families are have been reiterated by the police department, and, you know, to help them with their problems so they can get back into the world and just be great kids.
Mm-hmm.
Another organization I'd like to talk about, because one of the things that we often talk about a lot of different things on our show here is opiate abuse in you. Mm-hmm. So there's some place for those of you that are listening, if you have a loved one, to send them. And you can send them to, it's called the www.healrecovery.com. Go to that website. And this particular place is primarily designed for opiate use or alcohol and other types of drugs. And their phone number is 894-9011. The next organization I like to talk about is called SHOC. And SHOC is located in Riverside, California, and is run by Jamie and Bruce Mack. Primarily what they do, if you're having problems with your home, your mortgage, these guys are plugged into a number of different systems, and they have just an enormous amount of knowledge as to how things work and who they can send you to try to help you with your problems so that you can save your home. They're located at 7130 Magnolia Suite D in Riverside, California, and Jamie or Bruce can be reached by dialing area code 951-880-4278. The next organization I'd like to talk about is one that I sit on the board as a director. It's called Sowing Seeds, and sowingseedsforlife.org. You can Google it and go there and see some of the things that we do there. It's located at 1350 Arrow Highway. Primarily, we are the second largest food bank, and we are serving 10, 20, 30,000 people receive food from us. Other churches and our satellite organizations, just about that part of the Los Angeles County area, many people receive food, not only just food, clothes, shoes, water, just a number of different things. We have a number of different programs that are going on constantly. We need your help. We need volunteers. We need food. We need clothes. We need shoes. We need anything that you can volunteer to give us, and all organizations need money. So if you have anything or you want to come out and give us a hand, please call area code 909-293-RAND-ROBERTSON. The next organization we'd like to talk about is called I'm Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. That particular organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. And usually what they're over there doing is they hand out food, clothes, and sometimes they just do something nice for those that are homeless and haven't had a hamburger. They just grill one and give it to them. So if you're hanging around there and they do this on the fourth Saturday of every month, please come out and support that organization. And Kathy can be reached at area code 562-313-0041. And we're going to talk about one more organization, and that one is called VeteranCareSolutions.org. That organization is run by LaShonda Jones. They have a certification for working with veterans. They work with them big numbers, 36 of them that live in a place which helps get them reiterated back into society. With social workers and all of the help that they need in dealing with many of their different problems, homelessness, drugs, alcohol. Veterans Care Solutions, you can reach LaShonda Jones by calling area code 909-329-8288. And as usual, whenever I give out this information, I also give out a piece of my little mind, which in closing, this is what I'd like to say. We are pro-poor, interacting with the poor in a way that provides choice and dignity. I have a belief, and that belief is in fishing rods rather than fish. And The attempt is to implement sustainable environmental practices. And we hope that in doing this, we can change the behaviors that contribute to poverty. I am Selena A. Lindsay, and I thank you for listening to our program tonight. Good night.
Good night. We'll be on the air again next Monday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to dial in and contribute to the conversation, or you just dial in and want to listen, that's fine too. The number, again, is 858-769-4936. Press 1. All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.